Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. If you're a fan of our Facebook fan page, The Matt Bubala Show at Facebook, go to the Facebook.com, click on The Matt Bubala Show, and give us a like there. If you are a fan, then earlier this week you saw that I shared something that was posted by somebody named Samantha Gallagher. And she posted this photo and underneath just wrote, Brooke is loving her new teacher already. And it was a photo of a note that was sent home by their teacher, Mrs. Brandy Young. And it said, new homework policy. Dear parents, after much research this summer, I'm trying something new. Homework will only consist of work that your student did not finish during the school day. There will be no formally assigned homework this year. Research has been unable to prove that homework improves student performance. Rather, I ask that you spend your evenings doing things that are proven to correlate with student success. Eat dinner as a family, read together, play outside, and get your child to bed early. Thanks, Mrs. Brandy Young. And I put that out there. I said, what would you think about this? And we got a lot of responses on the Facebook page, mostly with people saying, I'm all in. Where do I sign up? Well, let's find out. Joining us on the phone right now is that very teacher, Mrs. Brandy Young. She teaches at Godley Elementary, which is in Godley, Texas, just outside of Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, Brandy, how are you?
Hey, doing well. How are you?
Good. Are you stunned that this has become such a viral sensation and you're here, you know, doing interviews with radio stations in Chicago over this?
Oh, my goodness. I could not be more stunned. This is absolutely wild.
When did it strike you? You said over research this summer. When did it hit you that, you know what, this is how I'm going to do this year?
Actually, yeah, I spent some time pondering it and looking to see what information was out there. We had a Leader in Me training that covers Stephen Covey's 7 Habits. And they also have a children's version, The Leader in Me. And we're trying to be a Leader in Me school. And something that the speaker said, he said, if you don't want to work here, don't work here. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Let's do what's best for kids. And I thought, wow, I really don't have to do anything I don't want to do. I don't think homework's working out, so we're not going to do homework anymore.
Now, Brandy, as much as I'd like to think, boy, you go, Brandy, I imagine there's at some point you've got to go and knock on the door of the principal and say, hey, I got this idea. What do you? Because you can't just say, that's it, no homework, without running that by somebody, right?
Well, here's the deal. I work in a really cool district, and we are open-minded, and we are all about sharing information and doing what's best for kids. So first I went to my second grade team partners, and I said, I have this idea, and we mulled it over, and we didn't all agree on it, but everybody went out to do their own research. Mm. And we came back to it, and we said, there's not a reason not to try this. If we think something can be done better in our classroom, why would we not go for it?
Yeah.
Administration was on board also.
Good. And, you know, we talk a lot about kids and homework and how much they have these days, and there's different guidelines, maybe 20 minutes get added on for each grade level, things like that. But there is concern, and you're right. I have read a lot of stuff that says, you know, there's no proving that this is really the best thing for the kids, because especially in the age we live in where kids are torn so many different ways between us pushing them maybe too hard into certain extracurricular activities or them just not spending as much free time outside with natural play instead of in front of screens or extremely organized things, that there's a lot of concern about how our kids are growing up and whether they're developing certain skills that maybe we would have 20, 30 years ago. So how has the reaction been to the parents? I imagine most of them, especially because they're second graders, I want to keep in mind that these are second graders, so hopefully it's not like they were having 3 hours of homework before this, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, unfortunately, the amount of homework stays the same, but the amount of time the kids are spending on it, it's different for every child. Each kid in my class is a unique individual. These aren't little robots I'm training. And so what might be really easy for one child might take another child hours.
Yeah.
They're all different, and I was assigning a standard packet. It didn't fit the bill. The parents have been really supportive and really excited. I was really surprised that not one parent had anything negative to say. They trust me to make the best decisions for their kids, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, well, that is great. How is this reflected? I know you guys are doing this in second grade. Have other grades tried to say, you know, well, we can't go without, I mean, as they get older, there's more stuff they're trying to cram in and do, so I can't imagine they can say no homework except what you didn't finish in school, but do you think other grades, if they see this being successful, will maybe try to say, you know what, we need to lessen the load and give these kids a little more time to be kids or more time to just be with their families?
Absolutely. This is not a new concept. That was one of the things that really made me make this push and make this change in my classroom. There are classrooms all over the place in every grade level that have already made this decision. Our third grade, the entire team, not one person gives homework. And they've been doing that for a few years now.
Really?
They've seen a lot of success. They have great test scores, which, of course, is what we're worried about these days, unfortunately.
Right.
But they've seen success with this plan.
You know, in the note, you encourage the families to replace the time doing homework with other things that are good for the kids, eating dinner together as a family, reading together, playing outside. You know, that's on the honor system. You're hoping they're doing that, but how much will you continue to talk to them about that? When you have your parent-teacher-student conference, will you say to them, okay, you're not spending 20 minutes to an hour doing homework each night. What have you guys been doing instead? Will you try to keep gently encouraging that?
Here's the deal. I think part of the problem is we're trying to micromanage these kids. Parents need the choice to be parents, and I hope that they will, but I know that some of them probably won't put their phones down. Either way, I've given the kids some freedom to develop things they're interested in, whether or not their parents are micromanaging their time.
Interesting. Now, here comes the cynic. Are you ready, Brandy?
I'm ready.
Okay. Boy, you sure got yourself out of grading a lot of papers this year, didn't you, Miss Brandy?
Well, here's the deal. I check for content mastery in my classroom, and I know what these kids know. I wasn't grading homework last year when I gave it. I'm ashamed to admit that I have been giving busy work. This is work that I sent home additional practice on whatever skill we were doing, and I would flip through it quickly to go, you did it, you did not, and the data was for nothing. There isn't a point to assign busy work to kids that are already in school possibly 10 hours a day, and they have additional things they need to be doing at home. This is just taking up their time.
Now, Brandy, grade schools, my wife is a teacher, so over the years she's jumped around to all the different elementary grade school levels. So at some point, maybe you'll find yourself in fifth grade or in seventh grade or something like that. How would you carry this from year to year? I mean, if we say, all right, Mrs. Brandy Young, you are now the Dean of Education. You tell us what you think we should do, and we're going to go by that. If you were teaching sixth grade or eighth grade, I can't imagine you'd say no homework, but how would you try to correlate this thought process to the older levels?
I'd say meaningful homework that has a purpose. I've taught sixth grade and I've taught fourth grade also, and the idea is to give something that engages the child, that keeps them interested and allows them to develop those skills further at home, that isn't just busy work. So I think, you know, an appropriate amount of time, and you communicate with the parents. Just because I'm saying no homework, that doesn't give the kids this excuse to run free. I'm communicating with the parents all the time. I use an app called Class Dojo, which is fabulous. I think every teacher should have it. But it's a direct messaging system and a behavior management system that you can use with parents. It's like they're in my classroom. Everything we're doing, I'm sending them pictures. I can send them videos. I can give them tips and tricks and things they can try at home. Just because we're not sending home a packet of homework does not mean I'm not communicating on ways that parent can enrich that learning process at home.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, when it comes to certain things, I'm trying to remember now. My youngest are in fifth grade now, so second grade's a couple of years back for me. But there's certain things at the young ages that we're trying to get them to learn and memorize, right? There are times tables, addition facts, different things like that. What do you do about those certain things? Just work on them harder in school? Or
Here's the deal. It doesn't have to be pencil and paper practice. We have a number of really engaging computer games that the kids can play for that type of repetitive practice. And we do. We hit them hard in school. I know what they know. Why assign additional busy work when they've proven mastery on the skill? How many times do you want to do your work?
Right.
I know. So, I only want to do mine once.
So if there were kids who were falling behind, say they're, you know, you've got them all up to eight, knowing their addition tables really well, and somebody's struggling, you'd still say to them, you should work on this a little bit outside of class because, you know, you need to a little extra work. I mean, it's not like nobody ever does any work outside. It's dependent on what they truly
need.
Absolutely. Okay.
It just needs to be relevant. It needs to be meaningful for that child. That's all I'm saying. the stapled, chunky packet of the past, it doesn't make sense anymore for our kids. It's not relevant. That's not individually tailored to that child's needs.
Now, I don't know how you teach or anything like that, but let me tell you. So we have triplets at home. They're all in fifth grade. And one of them is just so much not a classroom learner. He's a real world. Right. He likes to get his hands on things and do things. And it's very interesting when you see kids, you know, we have these classrooms and we got 20 or 30 kids in a classroom and one teacher. And there's only so much you can do to present the material. And you can't teach it 20 different ways to suit maybe everybody's different needs. But somebody like you sounds like somebody who'd really be engaged in trying to figure out the best way for each of these kids. So how do you deal with that in your classroom, Brandy, when certain kids aren't getting it certain ways or you know, you can't just present it and they're going to digest it and be able to know it? How do you deal with that where you have, you know, these 20 or 30 different personalities and different ways that they really get engaged? What do you do to try to do the best you can?
I try my best to differentiate the learning. I teach in small groups. My kids rotate through stations. I meet with a small group of kids, 5 to 6 at a time, to review content and check for mastery. And you're right. I actually had a group of triplets last year, and they were adorable and a lot of fun and very different from one another.
Yes.
So that's interesting that you said that, but that was my first time to have triplets in class. And a lot of it is, for those children like yours, like you said, it's entertainment. Are they having fun?
Yeah.
I don't mind acting silly to get their attention or making up songs. We sing and we dance all the time. If you go to my Twitter page, you can see us acting like crazies. But I promise you, they'll remember it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's maybe oversimplified, but that's really one of the keys, isn't it? You know, I don't want the teacher to be there to be entertainment, of course, but boy, those kids need to be engaged some way, shape, or form. And those are the kids, I mean, I once I hit fourth, fifth grade, I struggled mightily for the rest of my life in school. And for whatever reason, I blame myself more than anything else. But the more you can achieve engagement from these kids by whatever means, the better chance you have of keeping them involved and helping them learn the material, I would guess, right?
I think you are right on it. I think that is so important. We need to make the kids love school. They need to want to be there so that they'll stay in school. If we're loading them up with homework and they go home tired and miserable and they come back with the expectation that tomorrow they'll be sent home with more busy work, they're not going to want to come to school. It's not going to be fun anymore.
Yeah.
We have to meet them where they are.
So you're only a few weeks into the school year, but I imagine, I mean, all the kids have to be, there's no kid that's come to you saying, Mrs. Young, please, I can't handle this free time. Give me something. Sign me something.
No, they're relieved. And I've gotten some great feedback. I have a child who has wanted to take gymnastics, and her mother has said, we're talking about 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
She's just been too busy. There has been too much to do. She's had to write spelling words 25 times and, you know, memorize facts and do busy pencil and paperwork. But now she gets to develop an interest that she has. And those skills are important. And the mom had wrote me a message one night and said, we got in bed early tonight and watched a movie together as a family. It was really nice.
I'll bet. And that's so interesting that you mentioned, like, she wasn't doing ballet because there's so much other work. And here we are in an age where arts are so lost in school, right? When I was a kid, we had art class, we had music class, we had all these things that very few schools are able to pull off anymore. So if the kids aren't getting that art, aren't learning an instrument or doing any of those things outside of school, then we're losing that altogether. So I think especially, boy, if somebody can take ballet or learn to play the saxophone or something because they found a little more free time in their day, then you really hit a home run.
I'm with you. It's so important that we just step back and we use a little common sense. Kids need time to be kids. Every minute of the school day is structured. Unstructured play has value. We need to allow them some time to develop their creativity and their own interests.
Yeah, we certainly do. We certainly do. Mrs. Brandy Young teaches second grade at Godley Elementary School just outside of Fort Worth in Godley, Texas. You're out of our district, so nobody listening to this show is going to be able to attend your class next year or this year. But I think there's a lot of parents out there that wish they could. You mentioned your Twitter feed. Go ahead and give us the handle so people can follow you, Brandy.
It's Mrs. Young Second, 2ND.
At Mrs. Young the number 2, and then ND, Mrs. Young Second on Twitter. Brandy, thank you so much for jumping on the phone tonight. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now, that's a classroom I think maybe even I could have done well in. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.